Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday edition of Playmakers. I have your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our partner in sports, Mr. Michael Comer.
How you doing, buddy?
Good to have you here, man. Thanks. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
We got plenty of great things to get into today. We have nearly enough time, even though we do want to thank our great sponsors for the time, our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Big thank you to them for getting us the opportunity to hang out with you three times a week. Hit us in the numbers. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. We're going to be taking a call from head coach, GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to be joining us at 5:30. Looking forward to that. That's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
We got a coaching carousel to talk about. I want to also get into the idea of the college coaches getting together, talking about transfer portal, the window for that. Got a couple of other interesting stats. We're going to go throw back to running backs a little bit later. That's going to be fun, I think.
So halfback option pass.
Yeah, something like that. Right. Yeah, yeah. Right. But we're going to start right where we did on Monday with the last couple of shows, I think, where we've started with the Green Bay Pack. We're also going to talk playoffs. We'll get into that in a moment.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Thank you. One day we will get that sounder on there and you could rest your voice, but right now it's great to have you there. I want to begin talking Green Bay, but we want to actually begin talking to you. That seems like a great option. Let's go ahead and take the first option. We're not just going to keep the ball. We're going to send it to the running back. What do you got on your mind? Good afternoon. You're on the show.
I'm going to take it right up the middle, right down the gut, and just keep right on running.
Keep running. Keep running. You run like Roger Craig. You get those knees up. Get those knees up. Just burrow through. What's on your mind, Kev? Oh, no. Oh, here we go. Let's try this again. Kevin, you there?
Yeah, I don't know what's happened there.
We've been having a little bit of hiccups with the phone. I don't think it likes the cold. What's on your mind, man?
I don't like the cold either. I'm sitting there listening the last few days to all the talking heads, you know, and I'm just sitting back and seeing what everybody's saying. You know, now they're talking about, you know, that Davante Adams maybe come back to the Green Bay. But there are some thoughts I have on this whole week so far since the game on Sunday. Yeah, I think, you know, 7 seconds into the game, the Packers was pretty much deflated from the fumble or non-fumble, whatever it is. They just did not recover from that. But what I'm thinking is through the whole season, yeah, they won 11 games, and they couldn't beat the playoff teams. You know, they got beat six times by them. But my question might be to you more, Michael, because you were at probably a lot of the home games and things like that. Do you think that LaFleur overthought things too much this season? Because last year, I don't think he brought other coaches in to help him with his team, like they did this year with Saleh, and I think there was one other one that came in and consulted with him. It just almost seemed like he overthought the game this year.
excuse me. I'll first say that Green Bay, you know, dropped the two games to Green Bay dropped the two games to Detroit and two to Minnesota. Close games, be that. Still dropped them, but they were close. I will say, don't forget that Green Bay did beat Houston. Green Bay did beat the Rams.
Right.
There's a lot of that. It's not all as doom and gloom that a lot of people are making it out to be as far as Green Bay losing. They beat good teams. Yeah, they beat the bad ones too, but they still beat some decent teams and play close with others. So I'm not too worked up on any of that stuff. As far as LaFleur, I've never really had an issue with the guy. But the one thing that I will say that has been a continuing issue, and this is the whole league, take the stupid points. You know, quit going for it. Yeah. You beat Minnesota arguably the second time, you take the points. you beat Detroit, you take the points. All these going for, or you beat Chicago the second time, you take the points. There's just so many instances that, excuse me, all this cold weather's got me, my sinuses running here. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. So to answer that part of the question, I think there is something to it that, you know, you have one of the worst things about being a coach at any level, and I've heard people complain about Tony Biolo about it at Lincoln, and I've heard people complain about Bielema when he was here, and Paul Christ, and Fickell, and all this other stuff. It's you stand up in the stands, and it's the armchair quarterback garbage. It's you sit there, and the play works. That's the best call in the world. That's smart. Yeah, that's great. And it doesn't work. Oh, what's the idiot doing? You know what? So, I mean, yeah. You can't have your cake and eat it too, even though if you're fat man like me, you do either way.
I'll try.
I usually do. I mean, look at me. But but all seriousness, so I guess my biggest issue with the man is take the points. And Green Bay didn't lose their games that they did based on defensive. Poor defense. Green Bay, I mean, that Philadelphia game, people want to bury Green Bay so bad. That Philadelphia playoff game, that was a one-score game until halfway through the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And people are so short-sighted with that. And the other thing is people are really down on Jordan Love, which he's a young guy. He's still figuring things out. He missed time with injury, and I'm not trying to make excuses for him or anything like that, but it's a combination of things. How many games, like those Detroit-Minnesota games during the regular season, did the pass hit the receivers right in the hands, right in the chest, and they can't hold on to it, whereas that would have gotten things done?
I'm still buying Caleb Williams stock. I wouldn't expect anybody to sell Jordan Love stock. If people are buying Bryce Young stock, why would you give up on Jordan Love
or
stock?
Jaden Daniels or whatever.
Exactly. These guys—they're all young quarterbacks. They're all still figuring things out. And I do think that there was a couple of really important notes, I think, from the game that we didn't get to. One of them: Philadelphia fans are the worst.
They rank way up there.
I'll put my name on this, and I will die on this hill. In the whole world, they may be my least favorite sports fan.
They rank up there.
They're just, and it's not every fan. You can't say everybody on anything you're talking about in life.
No, of course not.
But the majority of them, in that game, did anybody notice when it was like 10-3 or something like that, and they had a 3-and-out, the fans were booing them. Like, just get over yourselves. You are not that important. You matter, but you don't in the city. You don't matter in the game, on the field, like these things. Like this, some of the stuff of Philly fans is they've embraced it, and I feel like the media has just like egged them on and just added to it. So that, just putting that aside, to the Jordan Love thing. Well, you know, on Monday, real quick, on Monday, I came down pretty hard on LaFleur and Love. But as Randy and I were talking about this, one thing that I don't think came clear enough, I never said anything about them winning or losing the game. Anything I said had nothing to do with them winning or losing the game. It was context on the whole season and their whole careers. And my whole issue with them is this is the first time in my life that in my adulthood for sure, but since I was probably about 9 or 10 years old, I am not afraid of this team. I don't care if they're 14-0 when I'm facing them. I don't care if my team's 0-14. I have no fear of this team. This team has nobody that's going to punch me in the mouth. Yeah, they got some guys that can fly if the weather's right and the play is perfect and Jordan gets the amount of blocking that he needs and he doesn't do the check, the blah, 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 blah. If all that happens right, sure. Then they score you 30, 40 points on you and you lose. I understand that can happen, and I am not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of one thing about this team, and I am not alone. I'm not even playing the games. And I'm a Bear fan. I'm the guy that should be afraid of you the most. I have every reason to be. I have no reason. And I'm not talking cocky here or anything. I'm just saying, I'm being blunt about this. That is not a Green Bay team that I grew up watching. That is not a Green Bay team that I have seen in my lifetime. There is nobody that's going to punch you mouth in that team. There's nobody. Josh Jacobs does it from an offensive job better than anybody on the defense.
I agree with you.
We had a caller call in that was complaining about the Eagles and some of the plays that they were doing. And the Eagles, like Baltimore, like some of these other teams, the quote, dirty is in them. And some of these teams might be dirty players. I don't know about their dirty teams. Yeah. The NFL comes down on that pretty hard nowadays, and people tend to like their money. But I'll say that there are definitely dirty players, and there are certainly playing hard. And to me, that's what I saw out of Philly. I saw a team that played hard. I saw a team that punched you in the mouth. That's what you got. This is football. We ain't playing checkers. This is football. You need guys to go out there and fight for you and fight for the win. When your team is down, how is your body language? When Christian Watson goes down with another injury, what is your quarterback doing? Is his head up? No. Jordan Love's shaking his head, and you can hear everything he's going through his head. Matt LaFleur is doing the same darn thing. Anything we blame Jordan Love for, you have to look at Matt LaFleur. And you can point to Aaron Rodgers and some of the teachings from there and stuff, and I'm not going to fight you on that. But why is Matt LaFleur in that position if he has not taken these shots? You can say that he is the second winningest coach in Green Bay history up to his point in his career, that he has given you no reason to let that man go. Hang on to that man. Good coaches are hard to find, and he is a good coach.
Yeah, he is.
But is he a good leader? Is he a leader? That's what you need to be. You got to be both. You got to be Parcells. You got to be Walsh. You got to be these guys that can do both. I'm not saying it's easy. I ain't got a playbook on it. Otherwise, I'd be doing it. But I know dang sure that you have to have that to win. You cannot win without that. I don't know how you do. Name me an example of a head coach or a quarterback or a defense or anything that has won a Super Bowl that they were weak, that they could get punched in the mouth and they were done. I'm not talking about a fumble, a turnover. We've seen plenty. I saw Devin Hester return a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and I saw Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy. Let's go to work.
Yeah, right.
Their heads weren't down. They took over that game and destroyed my night. I got to see that out of this team. I see that the Packers, there was a headline on Monday night or Tuesday or whatever it was. Packers want Jordan Love to be more vocal.
Yeah, I could see it.
I want Jordan Love to run out of the pocket. Jordan Love had a worse average running average than Aaron Rodgers this season. He averaged less than 4 or 5 yards, less than 4.8 a carry. What was it? 4.8 a carry here. Don't trust your arm so much. You got a set of legs. He is on the Patrick Mahomes level of speed and agility. He can do this. He's proven it. Trust your legs from time to time. Have an offense that's not just relying on everything going perfect. And if it doesn't, well, you're taking the sack.
My question then is, how much did his leg, maybe was it an issue all season from that first game against Philly? How much was maybe the injury a little bigger than and that's just an honest question. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, only he and that staff know. You're absolutely right.
So that's where I maybe...
Something Mina Kimes brought up, both sides of this. That part, what you're saying, as well as his rushing out of there, I want to give her credit for that thought.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is not my thought. But I will say that I did see her point on it. Only because that's the offense and that's the way the offenses in today's NFL are going and everything.
If you can't throw it, you better run. You better move.
But just real quick, I'll shut up after this. The idea that either of these guys should anything other than prepping and planning and working for next year and fine-tuning things and working on this, anything other than that is ridiculous. Like, you've got two incredible talents right here in their respective fields. They can get things done. I don't know they can win you a Super Bowl, but you can't fire them. You can't let them go. And the idea of this is just trying to get clicks.
Right, and part of it, too, is I'll be the first one to say it. Many Packer fans are spoiled because it's been win since 1992. And you know what? I remember it was a few years ago. It was last game of the year against Detroit. Detroit wasn't very good. Neither was Green Bay that year. That Green Bay got beat 31-0 by Detroit. It was Aaron Rodgers. It was it was Clay Matthews' last game as a Packer.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yep, that was Clay Matthews' last one. So that would have been 2017. Yeah, Aaron got hurt that year. Whatever, no excuse. But that's just the way it was. And Detroit, I went to the game with my sister, and I remember the place thinning out. Start of the fourth quarter. I mean, it's thinning out. And I looked at my sister and said, "You know, Sarah, if you want to go." Go. I mean, but I drove us here, so you probably should just wait. But I said, I'm going to watch this because I am going to watch Detroit celebrate their Super Bowl winning 31-0 in Lambeau Field, even though both teams were bad. And I want to remember just how good we've had it for how long. And this is just a small blip because Green Bay's not going anywhere. And I said that then. And they're still damn gone anywhere. They're still winning a lot of games.
Yeah.
And I sat there and said, Sarah, let's watch this so we can remember. I said, now, if things fall apart that we're heading back to the 70s and 80s, well, that makes us just a little bit more special that we can sit here and say, hey, man, do you remember how good it was back, not 1985, but, still it's still how good we've had it for the last however many years.
you've had it so good, it's not just 1 year for you guys when you're sitting back in your football coma at this point in the year and your team is disappointed. I'm sorry, this is a little bit of therapy for me. When it comes to some of the points you were making, though, Kev, do you think these things are fixable? Do you think these things are stuff that in the offseason they can add to as far as your points or anything really we've been talking about?
Well, I just, you were saying that they don't have that game changer. And, I mean, even on off, I mean, the game changer maybe on offense, you can say Josh Jacobs, but he needs some help.
Yes.
So, and as, I'm sitting there thinking, and, as you scroll through the social networks and everything, a couple times I've seen people, or I've seen, the predictions of what, of teams and free agents and things like that, so one of the ones that I saw, obviously the last couple of days has been everybody talking about Devontae Adams coming back to Green Bay. If I was Green Bay, if he's going to come back at a really cheap rate, maybe. Because he's lost his, a few steps. I mean, he's getting older. But the one that I would maybe consider, but I don't know if it's going to happen because they have $60 million in cap this year, would maybe offer T. Higgins that 4-year 120.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it. Yeah.
And that's what that's one of the ones I saw.
If anything else, it's a weapon. It's another weapon.
Right.
You know?
Right. And then the other one I saw was on the defensive end, and we need as many years that they've drafted defense early, and we still need help. And obviously our cornerbacks, we need a lot of help there. Is Jair coming back?
Jair's got to be gone.
His presser.
Got to move on from
gone. Him. Yeah, but here was a trade proposed with the Raiders. Give up this year's second round, next year's second round with a conditional first round, and get Max Crosby.
I mean, you got your edge there. You got someone that's going to get pressure and at least draw double teams consistently.
Everything I said about not
Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
Right there.
Everything I said about not being afraid of the Packers changes when I see that man on the other side of the field. Right. Now, everything I've said, you can go ahead and play it right back in my face and laugh at me because if that were to happen. So you went a different direction, and I love this about talking to other people about these things and the way your brain works, Kev, because I see everything that Dallas imploding. They're looking at a rebuild, especially considering who they might bring in as coach. Micah Parsons is very out there and sitting there. Like, if you could get him for something reasonable, which I don't know, Dallas isn't beyond. I think that would be a great addition to the team and a leader on that team. Micah Parsons, I think, is a actual leader, is a great player, and I think he is a punch you in the mouth kind of player.
He is.
If we can see when you see him with a good defensive coordinator, you saw him with Dan Quinn and saw what he could do.
Oh yeah,
that's a guy that nobody questions can punch you in the mouth. So I think if you match him with Green Bay's defensive coordinator, who I think is a good DC. He just needs guys to do their job.
Yep.
He just needs guys to do their job. That's it. Quit worrying about doing the cool moves after you get a turnover and something, and just play the dang game. Give me 11 Edgen Coopers. Give me 10 more of those guys and everything, and then you're set. I don't think that it's unfixable. I do think you need some veteran leadership there, and that has nothing to do with them being young or anything like that. Way too much has been made of that.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I hear anybody bring that up, all I think is, man, they got another 10-year stretch here. That's all I hear. That's another young team and a young nucleus that if you let them, all they're going to do is grow and get better together, hopefully.
There's one guy I think that's going to step up on that roster he's going to punch you in the mouth. I think that's Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Green Bay's looking at a major rebuild in that wide receiver room. Thankfully, Reed's going to be okay. But Dobbs, with that. Man, he's one of those guys that I just wonder now that he is susceptible to the concussions now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that wheel's ever going to be 100% with Watson. I mean, we saw that with Jordy Nelson. It never really quite was the same. So Green Bay might be having to look at making a splash receiver-wise. I mean, running back-wise, I think they're going to be set.
Yeah,
and as much as I do love A.J. Dillon, I think he's one of those vocal leaders that'll be out there, and he'll punch you in the mouth. I don't think I want to get hit by him when it's 5 degrees outside. I don't want to, but at the same time, he can't keep tripping over, you know, the roots of the grass.
There can be individuals need a team of that. You need a team that all has the same mindset of we're all going to punch you in the mouth.
Yep.
If you're going to beat us, you're not going to beat us like that. You're not going to beat us lying down. You're not going to see it in our body language. You're not going to see it in the way we play the game. Real quick, before we have to move on, Levante David is and Bobby Wagner are free agents.
Ooh.
And I know they're both up in up in age. That means they're not going to cost as much. Means you're not going to be stuck on some albatross deal or something like that, like a Micah Parsons or a Max Crosby. So if you're and not to necessarily say they need money, need to save money, but they need to bring in veterans. They need to bring in some guys
or go to Menards
or get to Menards, man. Get to Menards.
Sorry, bad. Plug, I'm sorry.
No, you know what? They got everything. Go and check it out. It can't hurt to look. They got everything else. I love Menards. Menards is awesome.
I like Fleet Farm a little more.
I could take either one. Kev, we appreciate the time, man. You have a good night.
All right, you guys. Have a great night.
See you, Kev.
We will be joined by Coach Paul in just a little bit here, everybody. Before we do and after we do, you guys can go ahead and give us a call, 424-2600. Want to talk a little coaching carousel with Michael. Before we do, we have not gotten to hang out since the Bear-Packer game, and I wanted to thank you because not only did you give me a cool orange shirt, but I wore that shirt during the game.
Yep.
So now I have a new lucky shirt, and I just let me just feel this for a couple of seconds before we get into the next conversation. All right, that felt nice. Now moving on. The Bears are talking to Mike McCarthy, and if this happens, Michael, I've said it already once, I'll say it again, I don't know, I'm always going to be a Bear fan. It's in my blood, it's in my DNA.
Yeah.
I can't help it. If I could, I would have changed it by now if I could have.
Oh, yeah, same with White Sox.
Right, yeah, I can't help it. It's who I am.
Right.
But there's no way I can pay attention to this team. There's just no way I can believe in this team. Everything I was just saying about LaFleur, I feel even less about Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's a big guy. Mike McCarthy is a good coach with a winning record in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's nothing about him.
He's won a Super Bowl.
He's won a Super Bowl, and I still don't believe in that guy. I still don't. I don't know what it is about him that I don't necessarily, I can't put my finger on it. But I know that when I see that guy and I hear him talking, I don't believe a second of anything he says. And I don't know that he's a great coach. I saw this man hold up the Lombardi Trophy. And some years later, I saw him on the last play of a playoff game send Ezekiel Elliott out there with two guards.
Yeah.
And that's it. This guy is, I don't know. He's either very intelligent, way more than I am. And way smart. He's obviously way smarter than I am. I'll give him plenty of credit on that. And he knows way more about football than I'll ever know. But he also knows how to hustle you. He hustled Jerry Jones. He told him that in the press conference. He told Jerry Jones in the press conference to his face that he lied to him and then laughed. There's too much about that guy that I don't. The Bears never hire veteran coaches. The one time you do, it's this guy. It's somebody else's leftovers. John Fox. John Fox they hired some years back.
Yep.
That was the outlier.
Yep.
That was the outlier. And that went horrible too. Now, I will say, I don't know that why I feel so strongly, and I'd be okay with Pete Carroll and not Mike McCarthy when Mike McCarthy is like 10, 15 years younger or anything. Trust me, it doesn't make sense to me either. I've thought about it a lot before opening my mouth. But it is what it is, man. I feel very strongly about this. If they hire that guy, there's just no way I can. I'll follow Caleb. I'll follow Rome. But I can't imagine following that team. Let's get to a call before we go to break. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Oh, it is you. Hey, Coach. Hey, man.
Hey, it's kind of funny you were talking about Jerry Jones because I was just watching the Levitard show. And it made me chuckle because they said something today that I'd like to share if you guys want to laugh.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jason Garrett look like a carrot?
Yeah, he does. He does. It's one of my favorite things that they do is that Adam Silver looks like a thermometer or something like that. I've heard. There's a couple of.
I had one the other day. I had one the other day talking to my sister about Adam Silver. That was. I just said he kind of looks like Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
He does.
So
I really like it when they have Tim Kirchin on there too because I love to hear that guy talk baseball. Man, he has the best stories. Man.
Up there with hearing my children laugh. Right next to after that is Tim Kirkchin. I love Tim Kirkchin's laugh.
Right,
he has
right.
a great laugh and a great call, man. Thank you. We got to get to break here.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Have a good one, man. Have a good one. Michael, you had some thoughts on the coaching carousel before we go to break. Just a couple of quick notes.
It's... As with anything, I mean, I can make jokes all day. I got a meme sent to me today of the Bears just hired their new coach, and it was Joe Biden there standing there. just the same clueless look that he's famous for. I'm not making this a politics show by any means, but it's just God, that was funny. And then the Mike McCarthy stuff and everything there. But the one that the whole coaching carousel thing. I heard just a little bit about it, and I turned the channel because the whole talk of it just made me mad. And what it was people complaining about firing the New England coach. I forget the man's name.
Jared Mayo.
For firing him after one season. Wasn't a good year. He's in the middle of a rebuild right there in New England. And then bringing in Vrabel. Yeah. And all of a sudden, everyone complained about the Rooney Rule and all this. I'm like, that's one of the worst. Everyone talks about no discrimination in the world, but that's what the Rooney Rule is to a point. And it's just like, listen, why can't they just hire who's right for them, no matter what they look like? But
How come in that situation? And I'll just play the other side of this.
Oh yeah, of course. I figured you would.
The other side of this is when you. When you do everything right and you still don't get the opportunities, how come when every time we have this conversation, it's never we're talking about two black people or anything like that. It's never that. The stats speak for themselves. I'm not about to try to swing anybody.
Of course.
People are going to feel the way they're going to feel about this stuff. And certain people are always going to have an edge whenever race or sex or anything comes up. And they're never going to hear it. And I'm not even going to try to get through to them. What I'll say is that if you don't see that there is a problem with this and that there is a reason for the Rooney Rule, then you may never. And that's on you. That's your business and your life. You live your life. Those of us that are ethnic, those of us that have to see the world differently, that don't have a choice in this, have to look at these things and have to see and have to pay attention and make sure, hey, is this being done right? Because the guy just was really bad at his job and didn't have good people skills and him and Kraft weren't on the same page.
Yeah.
Or was it because I like the white guy better? All of this has to be asked because of what has been built for decades and decades and decades, not only on the NFL gridiron and the backs that have been built that league, but also on just in everyday life. And this isn't, there's no harm in asking the questions. The harm comes in when you start playing cards when they aren't meant to be played.
Right.
When you start crying wolf and bringing down the whole cause, because that don't help anybody.
Right.
And not ask the questions. That is when I get scared. That's when I get worried. I tune out right away when I hear this stuff for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
Because so much of it is just a wolf cry, a boy crying wolf. And it's not, there's not legitimacy to it. But for every one of those things, there are plenty of them where you got the NFL in many of these leagues. How many ethnic owners are there?
I'd have to do the research.
There's the minority owners. There's a bunch of minority owners.
Right.
I'm talking about the Robert Krafts. I'm talking about the Hunts. I'm talking about those. Not that's one type of people, and they make all the shots and they make all the calls. And you can go ahead and look at the science of this. People tend to hire people that look and sound like them. That is just science.
Oh yeah.
So breaking these habits needs to be done. And if it takes a Rooney Rule, which nobody believes in and nobody believes actually works, at least it's something.
Yeah.
At the very least, they're trying, because there is no way to make people right in their head. There is I know what's right. I'm not saying I do. I'm not at all trying to tell anybody what to think or feel.
Oh, of course not.
But there is a way to treat people. I think we can all agree you treat people equally.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
In theory, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. You can't change that in somebody's brain. You don't know what they're thinking or feeling.
Right.
So at least we have this rule to try to get people, and maybe somebody gets an interview that wouldn't have otherwise, and they actually get a job.
I think maybe
it happens.
I think the big thing is we agree upon the same thing. We're just coming at it from two different ways.
Absolutely, which is so us already.
Yeah,
We've been doing this a couple of times. I love that. I love talking to Coach Paul. He's going to join us in just a minute or two, everybody. We're going to get to a real 2-minute break. We'll come back with Coach Paul in the fourth period on Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. We hope you're having a great day out there. Thanks for joining us. We're here to kick off the fourth period, where we get a chance to hang out and talk with our good friend, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Coach Paul is with us right now on the phone. Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Doing good, doing good. Got Michael here, voice of our River Kings here. I'm looking at a River Kings and a Raptors thing on my screen here, so I apologize. And I'm excited to talk with you, Ben, because one of the things that came out of the past set of games, I thought could be a good thing going forward, and I was dying to know what you think of that. Let's just real quickly get these in. We had the scores from over the last two games, over the last weekend. The Kings lost to the Mullets.
Squatch,
6-1 on Friday. Then on Saturday, they traded scores, essentially, and won the Saturday game. It was 7-2. So very similar scores for both games and everything. But I'm curious. Tell us what the stats don't. What was going through you through that game from Friday to Saturday? What did you say to your players, and what do the stats not tell us?
Well, there's certain things that we can't repeat on the radio.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying about.
You beat me to it, Coach.
Let's just say it was very unfortunate that Friday we just came out flat. We didn't have the energy that I was hoping for. Some key mistakes at critical times that just the game got away from us pretty early. Goaltending, Deacon Shaw definitely did not have his best game. I know he wants a couple of those back. So it's just a combination of a few things. But most importantly, I think the energy we did not have. And that was disappointing. Because, and I'll tell you what, I mean, Saturday morning, we went right back into the locker room, put the game on, and we went through the film. We went through the whole game together. I took our power play units separately. We went through that, and it was, and we came up with a different game plan. We had to come up with another strategy that we felt that would give us a better opportunity, and I think it did.
When it comes to sports, so much of it is also spinning, and you can spin anything if you do it right. You got a good coach, and you got a good staff, and we saw that going from Friday to Saturday, where you flipped the script, and it seemed like they did have that energy.
Yeah. We talked about it. We talked about our systems, how we changed things up a little bit, and we felt we need to make sure that we clogged the middle of the ice. So we were very strategic in where we put guys in forechecking and making sure that we were picking up guys coming back through the middle. And they did it. And when that, we had to have that fire. We had to have that jump. And we were down 2-0 again, right off the bat. And I'm like, oh, boy, we need the next one, which we got. Felix Ahlstrand scores, makes it 2-1. Now all of a sudden, you could feel it. It was just a matter of time. Beauchamp ties it up. Owen Atkins takes the lead, and you don't look back, right? So you just keep steamrolling from there, and it's just momentum, right? I mean, everybody's feeding off of it. I thought we did a better job of protecting the puck, working the walls, and more shots, right? I mean, we had that first game. We had 3 shots in the second period. I mean, that's not who we are. Right, and you're not going to beat anybody with 3 shots a period. So
no, and that go ahead, Coach. I'm sorry.
No. I think that was the mindset in the meeting in the morning on Saturday. It was like we got to get pucks in net. Do what we do best. We got to play hard, fast, and physical, and put the pucks on net and crash the goal. And we're going to pick up a lot of pucks around the net, which we did. Right, and that's the end result. It's not a complicated game. It's just you have to be structured, you got to be disciplined, and you got to have that moment. You got to have that energy. Right? You got to come with it at this level, and if you don't, guys will exploit you real quick.
Right, you talked about that, only 3 shots on goal in the second period of that first game, I believe you said. You say you're not going to win many games doing that, and that's absolutely true. Because I mean, look at the teams that you guys have played throughout the season that get 1 to 5 shots per period, and then you go from there and just things don't go well. But one thing I was impressed with was this was a, especially the first game, was a marquee goaltending matchup between Deacon Shaw and Anyon Bennett. But if there's one thing I think this weekend showed, and something you and I have talked about, and even James and I have talked about, is just you showed that Anyon Bennett is a man. He's human. He can be beat, as can any goaltender out there. But I think it just showed how absolutely stacked that goaltending room is for you guys. Because once Shaw, you pulled Shaw, he was just having a rough night. Guillaume Turcotte, he was out there and he shut him out. He didn't allow a goal. And then the next day, you bring in Pat Gurney, who'd first game in about 3 weeks. And he, sure, he let in two goals early, but then boy, did he lock down, and they had no idea on how to beat him.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we all know you're not going to go very far if your goaltending isn't up to par. Listen, we challenge these guys every week, and some you know, at this age, the teenagers, right? They're going to go through the roller coaster, and goaltending is a whole different world.
Oh, right? Yeah,
these guys are their soul in their head if things aren't going right.
Mm-hmm.
And Deacon, you know, was having that kind of game, so he needed to sit back and watch. And I'm not worried about him one bit. I mean, this kid is a competitor, and he's going to be ready to go the next time his number's called, right? Mm-hmm. And Pod Gurney is a very good goaltender, and he's been struggling a little bit. And now all of a sudden you give him a game like this, and he takes it by the horns. Now you got confidence, and now you got goaltenders that are very confident that we can beat anybody on any given day, and that's what's going to get you back to Nationals, and that's what we need.
To the points about shots on goal, in that first that Friday night game, the 6-1 loss, they had 34 shots on goal. And then you look at on Saturday with the win, had 29 shots on goal. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. No, that was just in the third period. 29 shots on goal in the third period is insane. That was a wild third period. That's wild.
Well, that was another question I was going to bring up, Coach, was for those of us who were there and listened and watched it, how the Squatch, boy, they I don't want to use the term too derogatorily towards the team, but they kind of act like a bunch of goons out there at times. And we talked about the penalty minute thing, but when they're chippy like that, I don't know how they're going to be playing coming up, because I don't know what the exact rules are about being kicked out of games and having to miss a game, anything like that, because I know that's kind of a ebb and flow from year to year about punishments. But how keeping the guys' heads cool and you know, walking or skating away from that, because it was up there. And I mean, there was that pause for about 10 minutes in the game that officiating crew is trying to figure out what all the penalties were, because about the last half of that third period, Rapids was on a 5-on-3 continuously.
Yeah. Listen, Chick Pojar, who's their head coach, is, you know, he's a former pro. I mean, he played professionally, and so he's old school, and back in the day, they have no problem putting out guys and trying to rough you up a little bit. And he realized that the game was getting out of hand, so you know, he's trying to teach a lesson, I guess, or play that kind of style, and we just don't buy into that.
To Mike,
at the end of the day, I had to sit down some of my guys. You know, you got to make sure, you know, you don't want certain guys to get hurt. And you don't want guys engaging so that you get thrown out for the next game, which is coming up here, that we need. Mm-hmm. Right? So we can't afford that. They can. Yeah. If you remember, there was a 5-on-3, and they threw out six guys on the ice.
Yeah.
That's just him, you know, why not? You know, doing that, and he looked at me, and he laughed, and I laughed because it was kind of funny. But it's that's when you know they just threw in the towel.
Yeah. To Michael's point, the Squatch had 57 minutes of penalty minutes, had almost an hour of penalty minutes. Like that's pretty crazy. That's Coach. We talked a lot about this series coming into it. Of course, with teams at 1-2 in the standings, we cannot lose sight, of course, and I know you and your team hasn't, the Northwest Express, who are sitting at third in this division.
You're good.
We got them coming up in the next couple of days. Here they'll be here. We'll be going there. Heading to Spooner to take them on. How are you feeling about that game? Leading into that game, what are you thinking right now, feeling?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm sitting in my office right now and we're just watching the game that we lost it on 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
So, the team that we are today is not the team that we played them in November. So I think we're a lot better. We've made, we brought in Marcus Anderson, we brought in Shamil Lutfil, and I think we're better and more experienced. I feel pretty good. I know. And then that was the message today in practice. I was on him to keep the energy up, and we played at a pretty high tempo today in practice because that's the way you got to play, right? So you play the way you practice.
Yeah.
And so we were moving, we were flying pretty good, and I'm confident that if we play our game, there's not going to be too many teams that can get in our way. It's when we don't that we become average.
Mm. Next Friday.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Wanted to let you go on this, Coach. I wanted to make sure that everybody knows about the awesome blue-white scrimmage coming up next Friday over in Marshfield. Can you tell our fans, our listeners, about that a little bit?
Yeah, we're going up there. We've gotten involved in their youth program a little bit up there, and great people. They're really excited to have us. They've been showing us some support and coming down and watch some games. And we're going to be up there this Friday, 7:45. The blue-white scrimmage is just an inner squad game. We're going to split the guys up in half and go play 2 25-minute halves and have some fun and get the people up there in Marshfield familiar with who the River Kings are and what we're all about. And hopefully they want to come down and see some more games.
We're hoping for a good turnout. We'll make sure that we bring this up on the air here on our morning shows and everything, make sure that we get a bunch of people over there, and really appreciate not only you doing the above and beyond stuff, man. You and this team and this organization, this isn't something, you guys are in the middle of a championship run here, hopefully. You're fighting for a chip here and doing stuff like this to build the game, to keep the youth involved in the game, keep this area involved in the game. Cannot appreciate that enough. Appreciate you, Coach. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
We'll talk soon. He'll join us maybe next week or the week after, but yeah. We'll be talking to Coach very soon. And I got to let him go because he's got a meeting coming up.
Oh, yeah,
up.
He's
got to
get going.
I didn't mean to keep him that long, but we get caught talking to this guy. We can't stop.
Oh, yeah. He's such a wealth of hockey knowledge, yeah, man. He's a little boy.
I don't even get to talk NHL with him, and I'm dying to. I'm dying to talk NHL with him, but we got too many other things to talk about. We'll be following your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. Make sure that you follow the boys of winter. RiverKingsHockey.com, RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Michael and I take our final time out. We'll come back, talk a little NFL playoffs this weekend.
Got some breaking news, too, for
you. And some breaking news right away coming up on WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour, lead you into Nightlight. Because tonight we'll have that for a little bit for you, and then we'll have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Got plenty of local coverage to get to. We'll touch on our schedule in a moment, but Michael, you said breaking news.
Yeah, according to Albert Breer, not Beer, Breer, senior NFL reporter, if I could pull that tweet up here, per a source, the New York Jets, also known as the New York Packers, are living up to that name as they have requested to interview Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley for the head coaching job. The Jersey native, which Hafley is, and that's where the New York Packers reside, is a four-year head coaching experience at Boston College from 2020 to 2023 and led a top-five defensive unit this year. So we'll see what happens. I do wonder how much Robert Saleh came in and was like, yeah, man, you don't want to go out there.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, we'll see. the guy's proven that he can coach, and the guy's proven he can win, and the guy's proven that he knows defense, but Robert Saleh did that too.
There's a handful of coaches, and their stories have been so cool to me. His is one of them. I really like these guys that bet on themselves and it works out.
Yep.
Ben Johnson in Detroit, the yep. offensive coordinator, who could have had to pick any job he wanted last year, and he's like, no, we got unfinished business, and I want a good job. You know, there's that out there too.
I have to actually research it, but I was reading the Internet's Machine today, and I guess there was some people, I don't know how they did it, and if they did it, my tip my caps are that creative. And they got around it, but they prank called Caleb Williams and that they were Ben Johnson,
yeah,
and said he was going to be taking the Chicago job, and I guess Caleb Williams is all in it, and then he figured out he was getting pranked, and boy, I got to research it more. I've got to listen to it.
Yeah,
but man, that takes something there to do that.
That's who would be my choice would be if not him, a Pete Carroll. I even wouldn't mind Aaron Glenn if he went on the other side of that.
Ditka.
You know what? I'll take McCarthy from poor Dick. Okay, probably.
All right.
You know, just at this age and what, you know, what he's
okay,
probably
I got. Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? No, I changed my mind. You know what? Actually, the ghost of Ditka, maybe though. What I want to, I have a couple of things I did want to touch on though.
Yes.
But now this has come up, it does bring up the idea. I don't think they're going to lose him. I don't think that he's going to get the New York job.
Not this year.
But I do think that that's something to keep an eye on, and that's why you want to add to that defense, bring in some, bring in a vet. I think bringing in a veteran linebacker, a proven leader, really can change a lot for that defense, because you just mentioned top five defense. Everything I'm whining about over here, or barking about, I should say, about being able to punch you in the mouth, all this, top five defense. Can't argue with that. Got seven, eight first-round draft picks on that defense. Got enough talent.
You better be good.
And real quick, move on from Jair. Move on from Jair Alexander. Let him go sign in Indianapolis or Jacksonville or something like that. Or knowing my luck, Chicago. No, we got plenty of corners.
And Nixon's coming up on that part, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do have real quickly, I did want to get a couple things in. And a caller earlier brought up the Dan Le Batard show, and I don't really get to watch it during the day. I usually watch it late at night, but I did get to catch a little bit of it today. And one thing I heard made me so happy. The name Christian Okoye. The Nigerian nightmare. Yep. Just these running backs that seemed like they were just 20 times bigger than everybody else on the field and all this. And I hadn't thought about it. I'm like, well, you know, we got one of those right now with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you like, took that name from me.
How do they compare size-wise? So Christian Okoye was in his prime, 6'2 and 260. 253, or I'm sorry, 6'1", 253 in his prime, when we all remember him being the Nigerian nightmare. He's with huge. Barry Word and all that. Yeah, I still can't think of a running back bigger than him. Until Derrick Henry, who is Derrick Henry. I want to make sure to get this right. He is 6'3", 247.
Where does Cheeseburger Eddie Lacy fit on that?
Ooh, good question. Yeah. Oh, good question. Because another one that was just huge. Like A.J. Dillon is big quads, big bod, lower body.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy was just built.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy.
And I'm not talking about him gaining the weight later in his career.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I mean, he was just big.
6'1", 253 MC. Oh, no, 5'11", 253.
Okay, so he's a little shorter.
5'11", but
so he's a bowling ball like a Mike Alstott.
Yeah. Man, those running backs. And just for fun, I know I've done this a little bit before, but Derrick Henry's high school rushing stats, if you ever want to just smile, just go ahead and look at those, because Henry finished his high school career with 12,124 rushing yards.
I did that going to lunch.
It's a national record. 153 touchdowns in his high school career. When he was 17, he was benching 365 pounds and doing a 315 in the clean jerk. Like,
good for him.
Just an incredible career, man. And I mean, high school. I don't really have a rooting interest in anybody in the playoffs. I would like to see Detroit win it all, just because I stick with my division, and I think it'd be kind of cool. But I think it's pretty cool to see Derrick Henry in the playoffs. It's going to be a fun ride, whatever happens there. Do you have any feelings on the NFL or the college football championship?
I hate seeing it, but go Ohio State.
I know, it sucks, doesn't it? It hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts, but we gotta.
Yeah, but now here's my question. Let's say Ohio State wins it all, my friend.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, do and they go next year and they lose to Michigan again? Are we going to go through the same cycle? Fire Ryan Day!
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Knowing that fan base, yeah. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
I got one for you guys.
Mm.
What about Natron Means? 5'10", 245 pounds.
Ooh. Natron lost a little weight because he had the steps in his haircut. He had the steps going. I remember that. I remember on that football card, man. He had the steps up there. And yeah. The Bosworth steps almost. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was good. He was a big one, too. Maurice Jones-Drew was a bit of a bit, but his legs weren't as big as some of these guys we're talking about. He was more upper body big and everything. Just those backs. Gary Anderson. There's another one that I'm not thinking of that's right at the tip of my tongue. Just can't think of it. But a great reference, man. Good one.
I got one for you. What about Jim Kleinsasser?
Oh, it's a great name.
That's an awesome name right there.
Did you say Allstott earlier?
Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah, yep, that's another Allstott. One. That's another one. Yeah.
Ron Dane. But he wasn't very tall, though.
No, but built. Yeah. Just built. There's, man. One of these days, we're going to spend the whole show just all. We don't say anything but old running back and tight ends and fullbacks. And we just, like, our callers just call it. And we just keep saying names. That's
Coon
it.
Ripkowski.
I'm with you on the college football the championship game. I really don't care, but I do think it's cool to see two Midwest teams in there.
Yes,
I
do.
Scraping the barrel at what to enjoy.
Midwest
about this
is
game,
best.
But that's right on. I like that, and I like the Big Ten possibly getting more money. But you really, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you've really got to enjoy all that money because it's all yours. You don't got to share it with nobody.
What about the ACC though?
Mm-mm. Because it's football, they don't have to.
Oh, okay. All right.
I looked into it just because I was really curious like how that works.
Because, I mean, they play majority ACC teams.
They got some great attorneys over there in Notre Dame.
Yeah,
they got some
they
great
better.
Attorneys over there.
Cost so much to get in there, they better have some
absolutely.
Good attorneys.
Yeah. Well said. Looking at our schedule for this week, a little bit, you're going to have at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Looking forward to that. Thursday, we got great high school basketball for you on our sister station, 105.5. Join us at 6:50, Port Edwards, hosting Pacelli. Mike, Randy, Seth going to have that for you. Looking forward to it.
The band is back together.
Yeah, I love hearing it. Love seeing it. On WRI on Friday at 7:05, Assumption Boys hosting Newman Catholic. Mike, Randy, Seth going to have that for you. And nothing against the Edwards and Pacelli game. That should be good. But boy, that Assumption Newman Catholic, that's always good when those two teams play.
Yeah, Newman's struggling a little bit this year. So it'll and Assumption's had so many close games just not go their way. So it'll be interesting to see if Assumption can kind of get some traction here because we're getting towards the end of January, man. Time's ticking.
And it's great to see that the teams are competitive teams, but you're absolutely right. This is the time you got to start winning some of these games, and this is a winnable game for them. This is definitely a winnable game.
Very much so.
That should be good. We'll also have some Wisconsin men's hockey on the radio dial on Friday. We will have at 6:30 Wisconsin Badgers hosting LIU. We will have the second part of that game on Saturday for you, 5:30, as they wrap up that series. 1:00 on Saturday, Wisconsin men's basketball taking on USC. That's now a Big Ten game.
Yeah, I still don't like
so
it.
So weird. We got Wisconsin women's basketball taking on Nebraska on Monday at 6:40 here. That's still weird to me that it's a Big Ten game.
That's grown on me, but...
It's still weird a little bit, though, right?
Yeah.
Still a little
bit.
It's been a fun show. Thank you to all of our callers. A big thank you to Head Coach Peckman, Coach Paul, for joining us. And a big thank you to you, Michael. Nice work on the newsletter, by the way.
Hey, no problem, man. I got another good one lined up.
Excellent. We're looking forward to hearing you and Randy and Seth this weekend over on WIRI. We'll talk to you soon and later, everybody. Have a good night.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.